This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Max Cohen. This is our post-match show of Fulham's 2-1 loss to Wolves at Molineux on Saturday. A missed opportunity, and that's what I'm calling the episode. We're going to go through that in probably the next 45 minutes to the hour. I also want to mention, we're going to start the show with a bonus topic. So we're going to get to that. As always, please do subscribe on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. It does help other Fulham supporters find us. And when I mention the bonus topic, please share your comments on that. I'm looking forward to that. But before I do anything, I want to welcome Max back to the show. Max, how you doing?
Doing great, Ross. It's good to see you. Unfortunately, that result was so frustrating. That Wolves team was there to be beaten, and we had chances. We didn't take them. But listen, this is what inconsistency is like. And, you know, the Premier League, you get punished some matches for not taking your chances. And arguably, you could argue we got lucky against United and Brighton. You know, they didn't finish well. And Wolves were lethal.
Yes, Max. And we're going to get through that. And I really want to dive into that because I think you nailed it. It's basically taking your chances, scoring on them, and they didn't. Talking about Fulham and Wolves did, and we'll get into details. But as I mentioned, I have a bonus topic for you to basically change the mood just a little bit because I was feeling kind of bad after the loss. I'm not going to lie. And I'm sure many Fulham supporters are as well. And it got me to think about teams I dislike. Now, I don't dislike Wolves. I don't have any feelings about Wolves or their supporters. Max, we're going to go through the top three teams you hate. 3-1. I'm going to give you mine first. Let's start with number three, okay? I want you to think about it. I'll give you mine number three. So these are the top three teams you hate and the reasons for it. My number three, and then I'll go to you, is, you ready for this? Brentford. Now, I hate Brentford not just because of the distance they have to Fulham, the rivalry and all that. Their supporters suck like you wouldn't believe. I cannot stand their supporters. They have... obviously, this situation with Fulham, they hate Fulham, and I honestly hate them. I do not like Brentford at all. I don't like the comparisons that we should be doing things like Brentford. They're my number three. I hate Brentford. How about you? Who's your number three?
Ooh, this is a great topic. I'm going to say Villa. I'm going to say three is Villa. I think back to the playoff final, a lot of bad blood from there when we beat them, and you know, them having John Terry on the team and Grealish. And I think in the championship, the Fulham Villa rivalry, that stuck with me. And I think the fan base, I think they're obnoxious. And I think a lot of it just does go to the playoff final when they were so convinced they'd win. They were the huge favorites. And yeah, we showed them.
Absolutely. And listen, I could have Villa in my top five, okay? But they didn't make the top three. For the reasons you just said, they could be closer up there, but I'm going to put them in my top five. They're not in my top three most hated teams. And again, this is just supposed to be a little fun topic to talk about. If you're watching live, feel free to mention your top three most hated teams. Okay, Max, I'm going to give you my number two. And that would be Tottenham Hotspur. I cannot stand Tottenham Hotspur, and I'm going to give you the reasons why. First of all the players that they have poached from Fulham have driven me nuts over the years. We'll talk about Moussa Dembele, Ryan Sessegnon, Clint Dempsey. Those are the ones that stick out. It really bothers me the way that they went about it, but you know what? That's what happens when you have a team like this. They like to poach against other teams, and this is what Tottenham have done over the years. Also, for whatever reason, the Tottenham Hotspur supporters think that they're better than they are, that they've actually won something. So they annoy me beyond belief. So it's a combination of the situation with Tottenham Hotspur taking Fulham players and then the supporters, which I just can't stand. So that's my number two. What's your number two?
Chelsea. Okay. Chelsea's my number two. I think that's going to be a popular number one for some people. But, I mean, everything about the club, obviously being our neighbors, the noisy neighbors, all the money, all just the dominance they've had. But just it's a club which is just – it just disgusts Fulham fans. There's really no other way to say it. It's just gross to us. And I think a lot of that is jealousy because they're the bigger club. But It's been so great to see them flounder in the past couple of years and just make a fool of themselves on the global stage with all these huge contracts. And, you know, we finished above them last year. Let's not forget.
Absolutely, Max. We did. And believe it or not, Chelsea is not going to be my number one. They're not going to be my number one, but I understand why they're probably most number one. I'm going to go to you first for your number one, because I want to end with my number one. Who's your most hated team?
QPR.
Okay.
I hate QPR. You know, when I was living in London from the 2010 to 2013 era, that was the team. We were in the same league as them for two of those seasons. You know, I think most of our chants are about QPR in terms of one club. And I can't even describe it, but QPR is a team which actually seems to be on our level for the recent decade. I know we're in the Premier League now, and they're not. But just we hate QPR. Just everything about that club just makes me just furious. Okay. I can't explain it. Going to Loftus Road, one of my best away matches when we beat them 1-0, when Moussa Dembele scored that chip. Or no, sorry, Pogrebniak scored the chip after the Dembele assist.
I remember that.
That was a great game. And just everything about, I just hate QPR. It's just kind of ingrained in me. I can't really explain much else.
I get you, my friend. Listen, I understand going with, say, QPR, Chelsea, like I mentioned, Brentford. Certainly, these are teams that most supporters hate, okay? You've given me your number one. Mine might surprise you. Mine's not in the Premier League. Mine's actually in the Championship right now. My number one most hated team is personal, Max. It actually involves you. That's a little clue.
I know where this is going.
It's Coventry City.
Coventry City.
I cannot stand Coventry City. To be honest with you, that supporter base really affected me personally. And I took it to heart. The things that they said about me and you really hurt me. And I've never forgotten. In fact, to the point where they were in the playoff final, I was very vocal on social media against them because of what they did to you and me, what they said. And it continued, not just for a day or two. It continued for months. The hate that I would get, that the show would get, it really bothered me. And I'll never forget that. If they get to the Premier League, nothing will make me happier than Fulham relegating them someday back to the Championship. It's not about the club itself. It's about the supporters that, for some reason, have an anti-American thing. And I'm not saying all. I'm just saying there is some. But there was enough that made enough noise that really upset me and really affected me. So that's why they're my number one most hated team, Max. So that's my top three. Very interesting, your top three and mine. But your thoughts on what I shared there is my number one. Do you understand why?
Yeah, no, I remember that show after we lost them. It was 4-1 or whatever, right? I remember it was right thereafter, before the international break. in the promotion season. Yeah, and then I actually, the only game of that season I was lucky enough to go to was when we lost at home to them.
Oh.
I think it was also 4-1.
Yeah.
So they did, in that season, when we won the league easily and just crushed the entire competition, Coventry City did the double over us. And
they did.
That hurt. Yeah. And I mean, but we can name so many, Russ.
Oh, yeah.
You suck. I mean, Leeds comes to mind as well. Leeds,
that's a good one.
Newcastle.
Oh.
And then, of course, we haven't even really delved into the big clubs, which I find United, Liverpool, City, Arsenal fans just kind of deluded in general and just very dismissive of clubs who aren't in the big six or whatever.
Right.
So it's always nice to beat them. And to give special mention to United, actually, probably my best friend from England is a United fan, and I have a lot of respect for him. But United's fan base in general, I think, is the most deluded, irrational fan base. And when we beat them just a couple weeks ago, that was so sweet.
I'm there with you. It's funny because there's this compilation video on YouTube of these podcasters, these YouTubers that support Manchester United and their reaction. It's actually fun to watch. I would highly recommend that. But you're right, though, Max. And listen, I just wanted to have a fun topic to start the show, because talking about this match might not be that fun because it is a missed opportunity. So let's get to it. So I'll ask you the question. Mad Max or Optimus Max after this match, my friend? Let's go there.
I was furious. I was really mad because we were the better team in the first half, and they lost key players.
Yeah.
And they were starting I'd never heard of their striker, Frazier. They're starting a teenager up front. And, you know, we hear a lot of talk about Wolves, who are obviously on amazing form. Results at Chelsea, at Spurs, almost beat United, all these – impressive run of fixtures, and then we show up and they're average. And when you waste chances like the Wilson chance and the Tosin chance and the Pereira chance, I mean, these are just, you have to put them away. There's no other way to put it. So when you have three clear-cut chances and it goes in the halftime 0-0, and then basically the first attack of the second half for the other team is a botched set piece, It frustrates me. So I was in a very poor mood, Russ, let's be honest. And when I got the second goal, I mean, a shot going out well wide that gets deflected in, you know, you just feel like it's not your day. So I was Mad Max after the final whistle.
I understand that, Max. I certainly do, because as I started the show and the show's title, it's a missed opportunity. So now I'm going to share my opening thoughts, because what's interesting about this, we're going to get to talking about the missed opportunity here with the shots and stuff, especially in the first half, because I think that sets up the whole match, unfortunately. But I really gave it some thought, and a couple things. One, on one side, I do feel optimistic coming out of it because of that first half, Max, of the way Fulham have played recently, that I think that they will break into the top 10 at some point. But this was a setback. There's no question about it. They're going to have to beat one of the clubs coming up that they're not expected to beat to do what I hope that they're going to do, and that's get into the top 10. I still think they can do it. I think they have a good chance of doing it because they have the ability to do it. However, what I've also realized, so basically there are two sides to the story. This is the positive side. The reality side is this. Fulham need to play at optimum level to beat probably any club. What I mean by that is that we can't be coming on the show, Max, and you telling me one player had a bad match, two players had a bad match. We can't be having that, because what's interesting, if you look back at the last two matches, I thought about this. We're going through all the players, and I think I asked the question, did anyone have a bad match? And we said no. And I'm realizing for Fulham to win, Max, they have to have everyone playing a good match. There cannot be anyone being that weak link or having a mistake. They have to play mistake-free. And that's the issue that they have. And I think that comes back to the fact that Fulham have a good, talented side. Good. They don't have a side that has a lot of talent, meaning great. Marco raises their level, and the players play at a optimum level, at a higher level than they normally do. But when they are not playing at that level and they don't take their opportunities like we saw in this match, they're going to lose. So that's why you're seeing the roller coaster ride. The talent is good. It's just not great. And I think that's the part that is disappointing me. So they can beat Manchester United, but they're all playing at a high level. They can beat Brighton, same thing. But if they're not all at that level, at that high level, like they weren't against Wolves here, they can lose. The margins for error are very slight. I know I'm going to give you a Scott Parker fine margins, but that's Fulham. That actually is Fulham right now. They can beat anyone, but they can be beat by anyone. Does that make sense? That's what I come out of this, is that do I still feel that they can get into the top 10? Absolutely, because they have a manager that'll put his team in position to succeed. But if they're not playing at that level, they're going to get beat, Max.
I 100% agree, Russ. And this is goes back to something I said the other week, which is that this is what mid-table looks like.
Yeah.
You know, if you're essentially from 13th to 10th to 9th, you're winning about as many matches as you're losing. So when you win two in a row, it feels like we're on top of the world. It feels like we should win every game. And as fans, we go into almost every game thinking we can win. But the reality is we're going to be inconsistent. But inconsistent in the Premier League means safety. You know, I mean, the teams that are consistent are the title winners and the bottom three. They're just in opposite ways. Luton, Burnley, Sheffield United consistently lose. All, to be fair, there were some good results this weekend, but more often than not, they'll lose. And the teams at the top more often not win. Everywhere else, it's going to be a roller coaster of emotions. So this type of frustration that we discussed at the start of the show, unfortunately, you have to make a peace with that as Premier League fans. Because every match we analyze, odds are we lose half, we win half. And that's still incredibly impressive considering, you know, it's all about expectations as fans.
Right.
When we got promoted, 2018, 2020, we were lucky to be on the same level as a team one out of every four matches. I mean, we were so consistently poor. And it seemed to us it was impossible to even stay in the division. And now we're going to do it 2 years in a row. So I think we need to focus more on the bigger picture than individual matches sometimes, because where this team has come from, right? I remember how bad we were under Ranieri, Slavisa, Parker. We scored, what, 9 home goals all season that COVID year. You know, the level we're playing at, thanks to Silva, is just incredibly higher than what we've been used to in the past 6-7 years.
Totally agree, Max. And that's kind of where Fulham are. It's not terrible to be mid-table. Okay, I was wanting more. That's why we go back to the summer and we could go through that whole thing. But maybe this is part of the progression of a team that comes into the league, back into the league, gets rid of the yo-yo moniker. We get rid of that, and then you become mid-table, and then maybe you take that next step. Maybe they're just not ready to take that next step yet. Maybe I'm being too optimistic going into the season because it's a progression. Maybe I was looking too forward and too disappointed by what they didn't do over the summer. The one thing that I will mention is this. Watching the match, talking about the missed opportunities, because I want to go there right now, because they come back to bite Fulham. This is going to upset a lot of people by me saying this, but this doesn't happen if Mitro's there, okay? They have good players, but they don't have that player that can win you a game by himself. Mitrovic can do that. When you're not playing well, that's why they need to play at such a high level, Max. When you have these misses like they had in this match, it comes back to bite you. Maybe if Mitro's there, he puts one in the back of the net, that killer that you can count on. They don't have that player right now. They don't have that striker. I like Rodrigo Muniz. I like Raul Jimenez, okay? Nothing wrong with him, but do they have that player that can score the goal when you need it? Ask yourself, do they have it? I would say Iwobi's a good player, but he's a little inconsistent in scoring. Pereira definitely doesn't. William can come up with them, but we're talking consistently get you that goal when you need it. They don't have that anymore, and I think maybe that's also part of the reason why they're a mid-table team.
Yeah, completely. I think one thing we're seeing with Muniz is he a good player on an amazing run, or is he an amazing player? I think it's probably the first option there. He's had a great stretch of matches, but he's not this type of striker who will consistently give you 15 a season like Mitro could.
Right.
Which is okay. I mean, I'm not criticizing him. He's just not there yet, but I think he could get there. And in this team, we don't have the goal scorers just yet. And I think that was on full display. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Exactly. Later,
but Harry Wilson. Oh, come on. Hit it with
Well, let's right. talk about it. Let's talk about these misses, Max, because I think you're going to be in agreement with me. When you go back and you watch the first half, because we'll analyze it by going through both halves here. Fulham, I thought, were the better side, okay? If you're looking at it, you could say maybe even, but I thought they created the better opportunities here. So you've got these opportunities, and you got Harry Wilson here, and I've heard all these plaudits about Harry Wilson, and I think Harry Wilson is at Fulham for a reason. It's because he does stuff like this, honestly. He's just not consistent enough to be a top flight, we're talking top six player. And that's why he's at Fulham. I think that's what we're seeing. We're getting a lot of these players that are Premier League level players, but aren't at a top six club for a reason. There's a reason why he's never stuck at Liverpool. And I think we're seeing it. He can score that wonderful goal like he did the week before, but then he'll have this miss. It's just consistency, Max. And then you look at Tosin's miss and similar thing. I know he's a defender, a center back. You got to score here. And these misses, we know, come back to bite you. Now, they didn't against Manchester United. It was almost a similar situation. I was thinking about this, Max, halftime, right? Same situation. However, Manchester United didn't react. Wolves did. They took advantage of their opportunities. They came back to bite Fulham in this match, but it could have in the Manchester United match. It didn't, which is wonderful for Fulham, but... So let's talk about these first half misses because they're the key to the whole game.
Yeah. I mean, the first one is Pereira. It's a great ball. Okay. I think
didn't even mention that one.
Yeah. It was Iwobi, I think, who played him through. And yeah, it's a tight angle, but he's a lot of time to steady himself and open his body. And
could have done better.
It's a good save, to be fair, from Saab. But I think Pereira, a player of his quality, he has a standard, which he should be scoring. He should be. So that's the first one. Second one. That buildup would have been goal of the season. I mean, that buildup was amazing.
Great.
The back heel from Lukic. That might have been the best pass I've seen from a full player. I mean, that was three players on him, completely unsighted, right into the path of Iwobi. And let's take nothing away from Iwobi's through ball. Perfectly weighted. I mean, Wilson didn't even have to break stride. And let's give credit to Wilson. It was an excellent run. When you're playing that inverted winger system, when you're left footer on the right, that is the most dangerous run you can make. He's inside in between the center back and the fullback. He did the perfection, but he's through on goal. And I get he's left-footed, but he's trying to be too cute. You have to hit the target. How could you just miss the goal completely free? No one near him, just a keeper to beat. That's a really tough one to take. And then Tosin, you know, the less said about that, the better. You have low expectations for him as a center back, but
right.
Oof, from that kind of range.
From where he was, Max, I'm sorry. From where he was. Yeah.
So listen, three goals we could have had in the first half. And Wolves, and let's talk about the flip side. Neto pulls his hamstring. I think he's one of their best players, if not their best
player. He is. I think he's their best player, to be honest with you.
Bellegarde, who I don't know a whole lot about, but I know he's a new signing, and he's played all right for them this year. He goes off with a knock. They're already missing Cunha. They're already missing Chan. I mean, they're not playing their best side. If anything, this reminded me a lot of the Brighton team we faced last week.
Yeah.
Although the Brighton was different because they rested them on purpose. And let's be clear, Russ, Brighton rested their best players and I think lost 4-0 at the Stadio Olimpico.
I watched it. They did.
I had a good laugh about that one. So that strategy really worked for De Zerbi. What a genius. So it's almost worse, you know, is that like, They're injured. They even had more injuries. And then we let them back in the match second half, which we'll talk about later. But that, to me, was probably the part that irked me the most, was that when it seemed like we had them on the ropes, they broke through. And we kind of seemed to sleep.
Right. And listen, that's the story of this match, to be fair. Listen, I'll give Wolves credit. They took advantage of two opportunities. By the way, two fullbacks score, which kind of irks me as well. And Fulham didn't take advantage of their opportunity.
Hey, Russ.
Yeah.
Tom Kearney's a fullback?
No. I'm
kidding.
No, I know where you're going on that.
It's an own goal. Do not give that goal to Semedo. Do not give him credit. That was one of the worst shots we'll see. He got lucky. He got lucky that Tom Canty was there.
He did.
Don't give it to Tomato.
He did. Okay. We'll touch on that in just a few minutes, but let's now move on, Max. Let's talk about the starting 11. So what's interesting here is that I'm going to ask a question. Did Marco get it right with an unchanged starting 11 here? This is an interesting one. I'm just going to ask the question because I did a preview show, and I think there's a strong argument that he got it right, that he absolutely got it right, and the proof is in the pudding because of the opportunities they actually created. So, but I'm going to ask you the question. Did he get it right?
This is one of the more vigorous debates of the show, which I had with, you know, you, Giannis, and Craig last week.
Yeah.
And I was the only one who said start Polina. So credit to Giannis and Craig for being right. They're correct that it was unchanged. But I don't know. I would have started Polina. That being said,
yep.
I thought Polina was terrible when it came on. I thought we saw the worst of Polina.
We're going to talk about that.
So I'm kind of torn here. But I don't think the starting 11 is why we lost.
Okay.
So I'll say Marco got it right.
Okay. Excellent. I actually agree with that. Okay. I just want to share this. This is from Stefan. We lost the game. Wolves did not win it. Wilson and Tosin should have put the game away. And that's kind of where we're going on this stuff. And that's where Max and I are talking about it. And I want, like I said, I'm giving Wolves the credit. But to his point, Max, it feels like a match that Fulham lost and Wolves didn't win it. They took advantage of their opportunities. You got to give them credit for that, but it was in Fulham's hands, and that's kind of what we've been talking about.
Yeah, and I don't want to disrespect Wolves because I think they manage this game like a professional Premier League team.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest. They rode the pressure. They regrouped. They didn't break, and they came back on second half with a renewed sense of purpose. So, but yeah, I think that's an accurate analysis in the sense that, you know, their first goal comes from a big mistake, in my opinion, off a set piece. You shouldn't be conceding off a set piece like that when your defender gets heads the ball first,
right,
with Bassey. And the second goal is a fortunate deflection. So looking back, maybe it should have been a draw, would have been the fair result. Because I don't want to say we should have won because we didn't have enough quality to win.
Right.
But yeah, you know, we'll be disappointed with how this went.
Okay. So before we break down the match, okay, let's go back and talk about João Paulinho, okay? I'm going to ask you about his performance, but I also want to ask the question because I've watched this back several times. Gets a yellow. There's a questionable call here, Max. Should Paulinho have been sent off here? Because I watched it again. I think he should have gotten the second yellow. I think he is very fortunate not to be sent off in this match and then be out for another match for Fulham. So I want to get your thoughts on that. Also, your thoughts on his performance. Like you've already said, this is not a stellar performance from João Paulinho. I think he was trying to prove a point when he came on because he had not had the opportunity to play and was on the bench for this match. I think for whatever reason, he wanted to prove something out there. That's what I think. But I actually think he should have been sent off.
Yeah, and the thing is, he had a number of tackles, which could have been a second yellow. You know, it wasn't just one big incident. I think there were multiple trips, pushes, chops, etc., that were just late. And yeah, and I think what you said was right. He was upset he wasn't starting, and within minutes of getting subbed on, he got a yellow.
Yeah,
and that's exactly why he was out of the team, was because of his yellow card accumulation. So it shows a lack of discipline from him. And he just seemed more preoccupied with, you know, being physical and going in late than he did with actually playing football. And again, we like that about Pelini. We've had this conversation before. We like that he plays that aggression, but it actually hurt. It hurt us because instead of us pushing forward in the attack, you know, Wolves players were rolling around on the pitch for multiple minutes at a time, and their fan base got involved, you know, braying for a red card. And that's not where you want to be when you're chasing a game.
Yeah, this is from our friend Steve Rounds. I just shared this from Stefan, basically agreeing that he should have been sent off. Steve says, if you want to prove something, then do not get a yellow in the first minute. And that's true. And I agree with you, Steve, on that. I think that there was a point to prove, but the way he went about it was just wrong, Max.
I agree. Actually, I disagree with Steve a little bit. He did prove something. I think he proved he has a yellow card discipline issue. So he could be doing us a favor in scaring off some of the big teams. Because honestly, if you're a big team, maybe that's the reason why Paulinho hasn't made the step up just yet in England.
Maybe
fair, he's already played at the top level of sporting the Champions League. But I think managers might take a look at that and say, not sure if I want a liability like that in the pitch.
Okay, so before we get and talk about the match, let's just focus on Paulinho for one more second here. And I'll ask you the question, because Reed and Lukic, have they done anything wrong to be dropped at this point? Do you want to bring him back? Now, this is your best player, Paulinho. Marco, I actually think, has a headache here. What do you do? Because now you've seen a reaction from him coming off the bench, and it was not a good reaction. What do you do if you're Marco against Spurs? Do you go back to Paulinho? I think he will. The question is, should you go back to Paulinho?
Yeah, I think from Marco's perspective, he will go back to Paulinho. For the Wolves game, we know Marco doesn't like to change winning lineups. So it made sense that he started Lukic and Reed. It made sense. Now that we lost, I think he has enough to say, hey, let's go back to maybe our strongest lineup. Even if it's not a winning one, it's our strongest one, which people would agree on paper has Paulinho in it. And I think that's pretty simple. But there's an argument that because his recklessness almost cost us, he might be on the bench again. But I think he'll start.
Well, Steve Reynolds has a good point, because Spurs is a very good side, and you probably do need him against Spurs. Got to play Zhao against Madison. I understand that. Let's see. So this is from my friend Wayne. He says Zhao Paulinho will 100% go in the summer transfer window. I tend to agree with that, Wayne. We shall see if that comes to fruition. But I think as long as he's with Fulham, I think you still need to play him. He is your best player. Let's just call what it is. And I don't like what he did against Wolves. And I think it's fair that we have this discussion about him. Okay. Coming up next in the second half of the show, Max and I will break down the match. And we actually will end with man of the match. Do we have someone that is going to win man of the match? So let's end with that.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18+. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, Max, let's get to it. We've already talked a lot about the first half. And when I look at this, and I've seen some commentary about the first half, the missed opportunities, we've already talked about that. But when I just look at it in general terms, I just think Fulham were the better side, as I said earlier. So give me your thoughts about just the first half in general. We've talked about the misses, so we don't need to go through it. Just while you were watching it, what was going through your mind?
When we played well, you know, I don't think we came into Molineux daunted by their good form. You know, we took the match to Wolves. I thought there was nice interplay with Iwobi, Pereira, Wilson overlapping well. Muniz had a couple of nice touches. It looked like Robertson got forward on a number of occasions, putting dangerous balls in. It looked like this successful Fulham attack, which we've been accustomed to seeing, which was fluid, you know, runs in behind, get the wingbacks involved, get the wingers involved. It was impressive. And we weren't under the cosh. But I mean, there are a couple of situations when he might have the high press hurt us at times, but we didn't look very troubled. Leno didn't look very troubled. And we said it a lot. We should have had at least, I think, two goals if you look at the quality of chances.
Okay, very good. And like I mentioned, I think Fulham were the better side, but they had nothing to show for it because of the missed opportunities. And that's what's disappointing here. But I think what it also showed me as I started the show is that Fulham are capable of beating probably everyone, I will say, except Man City, but who knows at this point? The way that they can play at their best ability, I think they can play with anyone. Unfortunately, they all need to be at their best, and they were not here because when you miss these opportunities, and as we talk about in the second half, when you allow opportunities like they did in the second half, you are susceptible to what happened, giving up a couple goals. So actually how I felt going out of the half, I thought Fulham would do better than they did. I actually thought they had a chance to win this match, Max, because when you're the team that's on the rise, I guess there are two trains of thought that you leave yourself open to what happened, but also maybe you build on it. They didn't build on it, Max. So let's now go to the second half, all right? So before I get your thoughts on the second half, what were you thinking at halftime?
I was thinking, you know, we should be ahead. I was replaying that amazing Lukic back heel in my mind over and over again. And I was just hoping let's pick up where we left off. And I was mainly not concerned, but I was mainly feeling good about the injuries and how it seemed like Wolves were on the back foot. And I was like, the conditions seem perfect for us to get a win here. And then we started it, and the first real moment of note is the 8-0 goal.
Yep. So let's go there, Max. And I want to get your thoughts on this because they get a free kick. And what ends up happening, I was talking to another Fulham supporter about this, about Bassey's header. Unfortunately, he doesn't do as good as maybe he should have or could have here and sets up the goal. So let's go through the first goal here, Max.
So I watch his back, and it's interesting because 8-0 is actually marked by Muniz initially. But Muniz, instead of tracking 8-0, just runs straight back. And he's actually the closest player. I think it's to Totti who actually crossed it.
Yep.
So the Bassey always gets ahead on the ball. When you're a defender and you're running towards your own goal and you decide to head it back, that has to go out of bounds. It has to go out for a corner. You cannot let that ball stay in play, or you head it out away from goal. I understand what he's trying to do. I'm not trying to totally go after Bass here because I think he's a good defender, but he makes some mistakes, maybe mistake every 4 to 5 matches. Yeah. And as a center back in the Premier League, those get punished. So what happens is, yeah, Bassey heads it back. Then his momentum carries him back to the touchline, essentially. Muniz is trying to mark Totti. He's not going to get anywhere close to the ball. And Nori's just free. So I'm frustrated with the marking. I'm also frustrated that, okay, we understand that Muniz is a striker and he might maybe get pulled to the ball. He's not going to be very disciplined marking. But where are the other defenders? Why are there only two people on the back post leaving that huge gap for Nori? Just, I mean, to get a free finish like that, essentially from the 6-yard box, Ross,
yep,
that's criminal defending. So I'm going to point fingers at Muniz and Bassey as the two ones involved. But I think the rest of the team, and maybe Leno, has to look at themselves and say, why aren't we there to help out? Because things like that happen on set piece. Players sure get lost in the confusion. But there has to be help, and there was no help.
Okay. So let's now go right to the second goal. This one, I think, is even more frustrating because, as you're saying, it's an own goal because it goes off of the behind of Tom Kearney. But they got themselves in this position to score. So now they get the second goal, Max. And what's going through your mind here?
Oh, this was a real killer. Because at 1-0, you think maybe there's still some chance. At 2-0, it felt like it just wasn't our day. And, you know, Kearney did the right thing, but there's a little bit too much time for Semedo to set up his shot from outside the box. And you want to get tighter to him. You know, the cutback was dangerous. And it's kind of a similar situation almost to the first goal. In the sense of a player in the wing, all the players get stuck in towards him. The ball back to the center of the pitch comes, and we're too slow to react. But I think you really have to put this down to a huge fluke, because this shot's going well wide, and yep, the Kearney deflection was just so cruel on Leno.
Absolutely. And at this point, Max, it's 2-0 and not looking good for Fulham. But I want to just get your thoughts before we obviously end with talking about the goal from Iwobi, which is the last kick of the game, unfortunately. Let's talk about the substitutions, because what's interesting here is that Broya comes on, very interesting. And then, of course, Adama Traore comes on, but comes on very late and has an impact, Max. Did Marco have some of his substitutions come on too late?
I think that's always going to be a critique of Marco, is that he likes his starting 11. He leaves him on maybe 10 to 15 minutes longer than fans would like. But maybe that's something he knows about their fitness. You know, I can't really speculate too much. I thought Troy was excellent. I thought the shot he had, just the absolute rip that Salah had to beat away, was really good play.
Yeah.
He was getting booed by the Wolves fans, which to me is just completely bizarre. And this is a player who you guys released. He didn't leave. And also delivered probably the best seasons of Wolves' recent memory, was thanks to Dreyer and Jimenez. So that to me was just baffling. And I thought he handled that tough reception well. Broya, I forget about it in most matches. But he came on and did some decent things.
Yeah, he did.
But I mean, let's be honest with us. You're a striker, you're young, you're on loan, and you come into the 82nd minute, essentially, for the past three or four matches. If I'm Broya, my confidence is completely shot.
Sure.
Yeah, now, it's not our job to develop him because he's on loan, but it's hard to analyze him properly because he's not getting enough game time. So, yeah, but I think Troy is excellent. I think Troy, you know, does he start? Should he start? No, not yet, but he's a great sub, and I'd say give him 30 to minutes, maybe instead of 15, 20, and see if that can make the difference.
Okay, well, I had a conversation with a Fulham supporter today who said he should start. Talking about Marco should start Adama Traore, which I find interesting. But, of course, he also wanted Pereira dropped, and we were talking about possibly putting Iwobi in that role, but that's not going to happen. He's never going to drop Andres Pereira. He's just not going to do it. But I understand the Traore situation. I think he's great off the bench, but it's interesting what he would do if he starts. I don't know if he's going to start this season. All right, Max. So let's talk about this, because Fulham did create a lot of opportunities, I think, to get that goal. But you got to give their goalkeeper, Salah, a lot of credit here, because they were putting the pressure on. They just couldn't get that one goal. And then, of course, they get the late goal, the consolation goal.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, it was a weird kind of pinball-like goal. But
very weird.
Credit to Iwobi. He's been in and amongst the goals lately, and I'm happy for him in that sense. So, and Salah also made a good save off Palinha, kind of flicked it up late on in the match too. So there was a good spell for us, I think, in the final 10 minutes, which was nice to see, because oftentimes in matches like that, I feel, Russ, that we kind of wilt and you kind of accept the loss. But hey, we attacked until the very last, and you know, at least we got one better goal difference. So that's something to cheer.
Okay.
But it was weird, right? And we scored, and then the whistle blows right after.
Right after.
As a fan, I feel like that's one of the top five weirdest situations, because you just scored a goal, you're happy, but you know that it's going to be over right as the other team kicks off. So it's like,
exactly. It was over. It was the last kick of the game, which is really upsetting that that's how the match ended. But you know what? Like you said, they did get the consolation goal. Okay. All right, Max, great show, but we're going to end the show. I'm going to ask you the question. Should we have a man of the match?
Yep. The goal scorer, Alex Iwobi.
Alex Iwobi, there you go.
I thought he was excellent. He had the ball through to Wilson. He had the ball through to Pereira and had his goal. So I think Iwobi is a good choice.
I think that's an excellent choice. I think Alex Iwobi, I think besides Paulinho and Leno, is right up there as importance with Fulham this season. So for me, I agree with you on Alex Iwobi. Can you tell me a bad game Alex Iwobi has had so far? I can't think of one. I know that there's been one where he hasn't been at optimum level, but has he had a bad game?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure something will come to mind, but he's not the type of player who just is anonymous. I think he's always good for a burst of pace, an incisive ball through, or good goal. So I think he's been a great signing.
Okay, excellent stuff. Okay, Max, great show. I've really enjoyed it. So this is how we're going to end the show. Again, I'm giving you another bonus topic. I like giving you bonus topics, okay? Ooh. So to end the show, not that this is a crazy bonus topic. It's just going to be about the next match, Max. So I've been talking to a few people that are scared to play Spurs. And I think a lot of it has to do with how Spurs play today. I get that. But I like Fulham's chances against Spurs. People are going to think I'm crazy, but they think I'm crazy anyways. I think Fulham have a good chance at Craven Cottage to beat Spurs. That's my thoughts. How about you?
They just won 4-0 at Villa Park.
I know. But old prediction.
But we're at home. We're good at home. We've beaten Arsenal at home. Arsenal's better than Spurs.
By the way, we've already beaten Spurs at home. Just keep that in mind.
In the cup, fair. Very fair. Yeah, I mean, why not fancy ourselves, Russ? I don't want to say win, but we shouldn't be cowed. Let's remember, we're coming on good form too.
Right.
But, I mean, they have just so many match winners in that team. And I fear that if, yeah, as Stefan said, if they score first, it's going to be tough to get back into it. But, I mean, this is what the Premier League is all about. Home matches against opposition who are challenging the top of the table. Why not? Why not us?
Why not Paulinho. Us?
Paulinho will be massive. He'll be massive. Paulinho will be crunching people.
Okay, why not us? That's my point, Max. I actually have a good feeling about this upcoming match against Spurs. And I think part of it has to do with how Fulham have played against the big clubs. Listen, they've beaten Manchester United. They've beaten Arsenal. So why can't they beat Spurs? And I'll say it right now, and people are going to laugh. Why can't they beat Liverpool? Now, I'm not saying that about Man City, but I still feel strongly that they can play with all these teams. They've been knocking on the door to get points off of Liverpool. So I'm not ruling that one out. So I would never rule out against Spurs. Plus, they're in my top three hated teams. So I have to predict a Fulham victory. Going back to my top three hated teams. Okay. Max, I hope you enjoyed doing this with me today. This is fun. You know, even after a loss, it feels like just getting it past us, you know, and that's kind of why I actually like doing shows like this with you.
Yeah, and I think immediately after the game, it seemed much worse than it is now.
Yeah.
You're so frustrated in the moment that we blew it, but, you know, losing a match in that manner is respectable.
Yeah.
And we didn't get destroyed. We didn't capitulate. We just couldn't finish, and we got beaten by a side who, let's remember, they're above us on the table for a reason.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Well, excellent show. Thank you so much, Max, for joining me, but it's time to wrap it up. For Max Cohen, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for watching and listening to College Talk, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are on. You've got your McDougal share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.